God is good. Amen. Let's really, truly thank the Lord this morning on this first Sunday of 2020. What a glorious day. Good to see each and every one of you. Welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. Those that are tuning in live, so good to have you as well. Happy New Year to everyone. And they're adjusting my mic out, so it'll finally settle out here in just a moment. But good to have each and every one of you this morning. And listen, today, of course, is our New Year's sermon. And we will, next Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll be starting a brand new book. We'll be in Ephesians, so you can be reading ahead for that. Also, Missions Fellowship canceled today, College and Career this Tuesday, 7 p.m. at Tom's house in Valerie's Ladies Bible Study. It's going to resume this Thursday at 10:30 a.m. It says, please enter through the admin wing doors. Also, Mornings for Mom this Friday, 9 a.m., ages 2 to 5. It says, bring a nut. Free sack lunch and of course your child, or I mean for your child. Sorry about that. It is the first Sunday, so prayer meeting this Saturday, 9 to 10, right here in the sanctuary. And of course, we have two new share groups that are going to be coming out this month. You can visit our app for website locations. And good news, they are both kid friendly. The Ramirez's home is this Saturday, 5 p.m. It's kid friendly as well, and. Opportunities, I think they covered that in the video, opportunities to serve here at Calvary. Very important as we start off a brand new year, amen? And, you know, if there's three things that are really needed, the cleaning ministry, I really hope more people come out and support that. You can sign up for that, and it's just a couple of hours. So the Lord bless you. You can email it to us at info@loveneverfails.com. That happens right after the second service on each Sunday and Thursday evenings beginning at 4 o'clock. Also, the kids' church ministry, very important. We need servants now. Amen? Say that with me. Amen. We need servants. Listen, we're working Danielle and everyone to death. Matter of fact, I see your, where is Dan? They're in service. Thank you. It's been a long time. Amen. Let's thank Danielle for the kids' church. They work so hard, her and Teresa, everyone. So, listen, it's very important that you sign up and help out. Maybe it's just once a month. I mean, that's not gonna kill you. Amen? Thank you. Also, the media team. Now, that's the people upstairs. We need help with the cameras, the live streaming. You'll be trained. That's a very important place. You know, they have French pastries and all sorts of things that are illegal up there. But see, we don't know what they're doing, all right? However, we need people to step out. You can email us at info@11neverfails.com for that as well. So with all that being said, let's enter into this first Sunday of 2020 praying to our Lord. Let's go to the throne of grace. Father, we praise you. We give you thanks for all that you have done. And now what you're getting ready to do throughout this year that you've given unto the saints of God. And Lord, we pray only for your perfect will. We humble ourselves before you. We do not desire our plans. We want your plans. We don't want our will. We want thy will to be done at this place called Calvary Chapel, Lord, each and every one of us. But Father, as we start out on this very serious time, we pray over, Lord, our president. We pray especially for our nation's safety. And Lord, we pray that there will not be a war. We cover with, oh Lord, the angels of God, asking you, Father, to surround all of our military personnel and all over the world, Lord. Please keep them safe. Please let this just, Lord, let your will be done. Let's put it like that. We also pray this morning, after another tragedy in our state, for the safety of all churches, Lord, here in America. We pray for our mission team that is returning right now from a wonderful time there in Mexico. And Lord, we pray over those that have been ill, for Donnie, and Lord, just that the rehab helps him so much and that he's able to regain everything that the doctors say that has been temporarily lost. And over Bill and Bev and Pete, Angela, all the people that are hurting, we pray over them. And Lord, I pray for me this morning because you have indeed given me the strangest message for New Year's that I, and Lord, in 27 years. So I pray this morning, unsure of me, but never unsure of you. And I look only to you, and may the sheep of your pasture, the ones that sent Christ to the cross to die for them, may their hearts be open. May their ears be open to the truth that you're giving us today. We love you and we bow our hearts before you as we begin this very first Sunday of 2020. And Lord, it's not the year that's important, but it is the time that we're living in, for the days are short. We love you. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Genesis, and we're going to be in chapter 4. I'll be there in about 30 minutes. But we want to, on our New Year's message, to a word for us, for this church here in 2020, being prayed over and so forth. You know, 2019, another year is gone. And it went by so quickly, didn't it? Matter of fact, we could say the whirlwind of God, literally, it just, that year blew right on by. And all the incredible work that we did, you know, the whirlwind is coming, the harvest is ripe. God told us to prepare. You labored. We obeyed the Lord, and man, Candy Cane Lane, the Lord brought the harvest right to us. Amen? Isn't that incredible what he did? And the Lord has shown us last year how effective we can be, the body of Christ, when we obey God's word and when we labor and work together with one mind, one heart, as one man. Amen? What a glorious time it's been. So, but let me say something to you. The whirlwind of God has not ceased. It's not over. And whatever we do, let us not lose the momentum that God established in 2019. We don't want to lose that at all. It's the same word that God spoke unto Joshua. There in Joshua 13:1, it says, he was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to Joshua, you're old, advanced in years. I don't know. Maybe he didn't hear it the first time. I don't know. But here's what the Lord said to him. There remains very much land yet to be possessed. Possessed. Loved one, listen to me. Our Christmas rest is now behind us. Amen? We've had a wonderful sabbatical, a time off on a Wednesday and so forth, and just resting up. And you know what? But it's time to go back to work. It's time to prepare. Matter of fact, we can't live off what God did through us in 2019, can we? No, we have to move forward into 2020 because we're going to be Well, see, I've been out of the pulpit, for 2 weeks? You know, that's right. There's enough to cripple any pastor, you know. But to prepare for 2020 and prepare for Candy Cane Lane Christmas in 2020. And that was a great adventure, wasn't it? Yes, and now we're getting ready to enter into another adventure. So 2020, a new decade, a new year, and a new adventure. The Lord is going to take us in 2020 into much deeper waters. It's no different than when Peter was called to come out of the boat by our Lord, and he stepped out upon the water into the deep. And that's where we're going. We're going to places that we don't understand. And like I've always said, every New Year's message, as I stand before you today, don't ask me to define exactly what we're doing, because it doesn't work that way. It's a daily walk, amen? Okay, so I'm not going to really define, but I am going to declare what I believe God has shown me in my heart. But before we move into 2020, could we do something just for a second? Let's move back into the close of 2019, and what a horrible close it has been. We closed out with the impeachment of our president. And not only that, now we're having the threat of war with Iran. It is my heartfelt word to you. It is time for all of us to truly wake up. You know, we do live in the last days, and not only that, we live in perilous times. And we need to be awake. And listen to these facts as we closed out 2019, just 5 days ago. Listen to these facts. U.S. mass killings reached record high in 2019. Listen carefully. It was the highest since the database has tracked them in our nation. Think about that. Matter of fact, as of December 26, there were 410 mass shootings. That's over one a day in our nation. I don't guess we can count the horror that took place at the Westside Church of Christ over by where Rebecca and I live. You know, the horrible tragedy that occurred. I guess we can't call that a mass shooting because, you know, a mass shooting is defined four or more people. There were only three that perished there. So with all that being said, here's another fact. The end of December, this statistic came out. 1 in 7 children owning a smartphone will have sent or received a sexual text message by age 10. The majority has now started as young as 8 years old, and 60% of all sexting is mutual between those who do such things. That's where we're living at, loved one. We can't stick our head in the sand about that. Amen? Now, and not only that, here's come the BBC news the very end of December. Russia deploys the Vanguard hypersonic missile system. President Putin said this: "This nuclear capability of this missile can travel more than 20 times the speed of sound, and it puts Russia ahead of every other nation." I saw the video of that. It was unbelievable. And here's one from the LA Times and also CNN. In the end of 2019, California has the most homeless people of any state, estimated at around 130,000 people in tent cities. Say that last two words, tent cities. CNN, the Los Angeles Skid Row tents line the entire city blocks. 60,000 people are living on the streets, and there are rats large as cats because of so much wasted and discarded food upon the streets. San Francisco, from another newspaper, has the nation's largest population of people living in homelessness. Most are unsheltered. They live on the streets without access to basic services. Sidewalks are covered with human feces. The streets are so filthy, the National Public Radio reports that at least one infectious disease expert has compared that city to some of the dirtiest slums in the world. That's where we're living in right now. But we tend to stick our head in the sand. We don't want to listen to the news. We don't want to know what's happening in our nation. You know, historian Arnold Toynbee said this: "Great civilizations are not murdered. Instead, they take their own lives." Now, I'm going to ask you two questions as we get into this morning on the New Year's message. How many of you have ever heard in a church service from a pastor sermon on tents? Okay, second question. How many of you have ever done a personal study on tents from Genesis to Revelation? Very interesting, isn't it? Tent, defined: a portable shelter made of cloth, supported by one or more poles, stretched tight by cords, loops attached to pegs, driven into the ground. Well, I'm going to give you a new definition of that this morning, because we are going to look at what the Bible says about that incredible word, tent, okay? 181 times God uses it from the Old Covenant all the way to the end of the New Covenant. And not only that, it's amazing when you think about a tent. I mean, I don't think about a tent. I've never done a study on tents until the Lord moved me to do so. I was actually shocked at what I found. Did you know that the first mention of the word tent goes all the way back to before the flood? If you just look with me, now I'm going to give you 1,000 verses this morning. This is not your typical sermon, okay? Are y'all going to be with me? Okay, it's not a typical sermon that I normally bring. I'm going to give you facts. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, and then I'm going to close us out with where I believe God is sending us. Is that a deal? Okay, with all that being said, in Genesis 4, verse 20, I want you to look at it just for a minute, and you can turn and turn and turn if you want, or just write down these scriptures because there's going to be many. It says in verse 20 of Genesis 4, and Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents. Isn't that amazing? Before the flood. Not only that, and have livestock. So this Jabal, this character here, think about it. He was the inventor of the first Airstream in the old world, okay? You know what I mean? A tent. A tent is made, it's portable, it's made to travel and so forth. Now, he was the inventor of that. And not only that, loved one, listen, he was also the father of all cattle ranchers. He probably was a Texan, huh? Because it says that he had all these livestock. So he cornered the market. He was like, you go out today if you're on 35 and you drive to Denton and you look and see all these new home additions, thousands and thousands, and they all have the same color roof. I don't know why that happens. I mean, is there no diversity in building anymore? Well, this is the Jabal all the way back then. Now, if you want the second mention, turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the second mention of the word tent is not pre-flood, it is post-flood. It's after the flood occurred. And now listen carefully. When we study this out, this simple study that we're doing, it is absolutely amazing the things that take place in tents in the Bible. Now, good things, bad things. Genesis 9:18. It says, and now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. Now, these three were the sons of Noah, and from these three, the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer. He planted a vineyard, and then he drank the wine. That's the first mention in the Bible, by the way. He drank the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. There's that word again, the second mention of it. Now, I love Noah. Noah was a good man. Noah was a righteous man. God said that he was perfect in all of his generations or his genealogy back before the flood even occurred. So Noah, here they are. They're in the new world. He's the oldest man in the new world. Amen? Think about that. And all of a sudden, I don't know what he did. Was it an accident? I mean, did he not know that maybe he drank wine, but it didn't ferment in the, because there was a canopy before the flood. You follow me? And maybe he said, hey, I'm going to be a farmer, put a little wine, Mogan David out there. I don't know what he was doing. So we say, well, was this intentional? I mean, this wine making, was it something that he did on purpose? And was he the first believer? Did a believer create wine? Think about that for a minute. Well, let me say this. One thing we do know, Noah was the first drunk in the new world, okay? And I don't know that he had, but anyway, listen carefully. The Bible doesn't condemn Noah for what he did. Did you know that? Think about that for a minute. There has to be a reason here. So I believe that it certainly wasn't planned or anything like that. But here's the deal that I want you to see this morning. There in that tent, the first recorded crisis in the new world with just a few people happened in a tent. Verse 20, Noah began to be a farmer. He planted the vineyard. He drank of the wine, was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. In other words, he was passed smooth out, okay? It says he became uncovered. Does that mean Noah uncovered himself? Was he tossing? Was he turning? Or was it somebody else that did that? Verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And told, he saw, and now he told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment. They laid it over their shoulders. He went backward. He covered the nakedness of his fathers. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So those two sons, they were so careful to honor their father. But the key words in that text, saw and told. The word saw there literally means to gaze at with pleasure, and the word told means to tell something with a delight. And look what happens. And Noah awoke from his wine. He knew what his younger son, very important word, had done to him. Younger son can also mean grandson. Question, so was Canaan with Ham his father? You see, because Canaan is the son of Ham, there in the tent. What did he do something? I don't know, but I do know this, that there's getting ready to be a curse, and Noah doesn't curse Ham. He curses Canaan, the grandson. He says, and then he said this word of prophecy, cursed be Canaan, not Ham, cursed be Canaan, servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, who, and may Canaan be his servant, and may God enlarge Japheth. And then a very important word, dwell. And may he dwell, or literally have fellowship, or may he pitch his tent in the tents, third mention of that word, of Shem, and Canaan be his servant. So the curse didn't have to do with Ham, it had to do with Canaan. Canaan is the father of the Canaanites. Good class, okay? And you know what happened with the Canaanites. They were vile, they were filthy, their sexual appetite was over the top. And we know that from Leviticus 18, those are the things that the Canaanites and the Gergerites and all the otherites practiced, okay? And God had to wipe them out. So you're probably saying, okay, Bill, what happened in Noah's tent? Well, I don't have time to tell you. So you'll have to go listen online in the study. It's very interesting, by the way. Now, let's keep moving. Great things, supernatural things happen in tents. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham to leave his family, to leave his country, and go into a land that he was going to show them. And when he did that, God says, in you, Abraham, or Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, we know that means through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we know that Abram departed when he was 75 years of age, took Sarai, his wife, his belongings, his servants, and he took Lot, his nephew, okay? And they went and they settled, first of all, in the land of Canaan, Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Let's look at it. And then look what happened in the land of Canaan. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I'll give this land. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he what? He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Now, Bethel means house of God or fellowship. Ai means a heap of ruins, and it's symbolic of the world. So he pitched his tent between God and the horrible world that he was living in. Do you understand? And look what he did. He built an altar to the Lord, called on the name of the Lord. Now, this is very important. He did something. He pitched his tent, and the word call there is more than he's worshiping the Lord. It's more than he made it a place of prayer. The word called is something that emphasizes a public proclamation. In other words, he told the Canaanites about the true God. Are you following me? Not, and listen, this is the first time in the history as we know it from what the Bible teaches us, that this happened in the land of Canaan. So the people were shared the gospel, if you will, or the about God publicly. Now, supernatural, that's a pretty supernatural thing, isn't it? Supernatural things happen in tents. Just bear with me. We're going to get someplace, but I want you to see something. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all dwelt in tents. They all pitched their tents in different areas. In Genesis chapter 18, look at it with me, verse 1, and the Lord appeared to Abram by the terebinth trees of Mamre. So terebinth trees, that's the large oak trees there in Hebron. He says that he was sitting, here it comes, in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abram is close to being 100 years old by now. He's tired probably and taking, you know, just a little siesta there at noon. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw him, he ran, here's this word again, he ran from the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the ground. And you know the next few verses, oh, listen, you guys, come on in. Please have lunch with me, and so forth. Verse 6, so Abraham, not only did he run to the tent door, he hurried into the, there's that word again, the tent of Sarah, and said, quickly, ready, 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and cakes, and here, now he's going to run. And Abraham ran to the herd, and he took a tender and a good calf and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took the butter, the milk, and the toast, and the cottage cheese, and all the rest of it, and the calf, and he prepared. He set it over before them, and they stood under the tree, and they ate, meaning the Lord himself and angels. 3. And then they said to him, to Abram, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, well, here in the what? The tent. Isn't that amazing? She's right here in the tent, the things that we're talking about this morning. And he said, well, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. In other words, both of them, as we already know, they were way over the hill. Therefore, look at Sarah in the tent. What does she do? She laughed, not out loud. She laughed within herself, saying, well, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, he's an old man too. And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Man, you know, God knows everything we do. Saying, I shall surely bear a child since I'm old. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. We know that son to be Isaac. And of course, and Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. For she was afraid, and the Lord, what did he say? Yeah, you did. Yes, you did, Sarah. God knows everything we do. Now, miraculous things happen in tents. Are you following me? I mean, the Lord came from heaven, bringing 2 angels with him to strengthen the faith of an old woman who could no longer have children and an old man who was already over the hill. Do you understand? What a great God we serve. Now, if we continued, we would know that the Lord told Abram, and you know, spoke to the angels and said, "Shall we hide what's going to happen to Abram?" Meaning the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, you know the story. All those supernatural things happened in a tent. If you studied the book of Exodus, and a lot of people, they don't really want to get into it because it's, well, there's all these chapters giving to the what? The tabernacle. Was the tabernacle a tent? Yes. And you want to see the details chapter after chapter after chapter when Moses received the pattern of the tabernacle on the mount with the Lord. Matter of fact, the pattern that God showed him, I believe, is the pattern of the true tabernacle, the true temple in heaven. Here he's going to make all of that. So the tabernacle was simply a tent. It represents the presence of God dwelling among the people, all right? Now, if you went to the book of Numbers, and I encourage you, man, today, if you can, go to the first 2-3 chapters of Numbers. When the census is being taken of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you know what God did, what he told them to do? They set the tabernacle up that was built there in the center. And there was a Shekinah, a glory of God that was resting above it. And what did God do in the north, the south, and the east, and the west? The tabernacle door faced east, okay? What did God do? He placed the 12 tribes of Israel in a divine location in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west. Every one of their tents that they lived in faced God's tent. Does that make sense? The moment that they rose in the morning, the first thing that they saw was the tabernacle, the tent of the living God. They saw the Shekinah glory resting there. They had a pillar of cloud, fire by night and a cloud by day that led them and guided them through the wilderness, loved one. Man, that was an incredible thing. So God was to be the very center of their lives. Did you know that even the Lord himself, our great God, is portrayed as living in a tent? It's a metaphor, I know, but it says in Psalm 15:1, Lord, who may abide in your tent or tabernacle? Same word, tent. who may dwell in your holy hill. Psalm 25 or 27:5, it says that God, he stretched out the heavens like a tent. It says tent, of course, a metaphor again for someone who loves the Lord, who is righteous. Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. The Gospel of John, the apostle of love, he describes the birth of Jesus Christ with a very important word. Let me read it to you. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh, and here's the word, dwelt, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word dwelt, the Greek word, shekinah, literally means to pitch the tent. You see, he came and dwelt, or Jesus, the Word, pitched his tent among us. Jesus presenced himself. Amen? He came and pitched his tent. Why? To die for the world. What I mean, throughout Scripture, over and over, how God, he must really like that word, tent. Even, listen, just turn in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. You can turn, that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 1 with me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul calls our present bodies that we live in, he calls them a tent. Look at this. For we know that if our earthly house, this what? Tent. This tent, our earthly house, he says, is a tent. Is destroyed, meaning dissolved by death. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A tent. This is. Do you ever look at your body and say you're a tent? Just a tent. This is who we are. God says you're nothing more than a tent, and a tent is temporary. It is not permanent. Amen? That means that this is not our home, that we're pilgrims. We are sojourners. Pilgrims means that we are Christians, non-residents, if you will, in a society, a post-Christian culture. And you remember in Peter when it says the pilgrims of the dispersion? The word dispersion means to scatter like seed. Did you know that we are the tents of the living God and we have been scattered all over the world next to the lost to be Christ to them, to tell them the way home, amen? Man, it says, if we know that if our tent is destroyed, man, one day it will be. It's going to fail. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to step out of time into eternity, into your perfect home that God has made eternal in the heavens. Amen? Man, you know, to study out tents is very exciting. Not only that, what did Peter say? What did he call himself? Let me read it to you. 2 Peter 1:13. Yes, I think it is right, or it's my duty, Peter says, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. In other words, I'm getting ready to vacate this tent, this outer body which is perishing, but my inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen? So Paul said we lived in, our body was a tent. Peter said, called his body a tent as well. And not only that, you know what? When Christ died, listen very carefully, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, let me just read it to you. I'm going someplace, so hold on. It says, now this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he was seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. And may I add truth to this as well? He's seated, yes, and he has all power. He has all authority in heaven and upon this earth. Amen? Jesus is in control. He's the one that's holding this universe together right now. By him and through him, all things consist. Are held together. He says, oh, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He's the minister of the sanctuary, or the minister of the Holy of Holies. Here it comes. And the true tent which the Lord erected, the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. The true heavenly tabernacle is a tent. It's not saying that the old temple back in those days of the Jews, it's not saying it was false, but what he is saying is that the temple on earth, remember in AD 70, did Rome destroy it? Yes. But the tent that we have, or the dwelling place that we have in heaven where Christ is seated, it can never, ever be destroyed, little one. Never. Let me read another scripture, Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest to the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tent or tabernacle, not made with hands, and that is not of this creation, not with the blood of bull and goats, but with his own blood. Jesus entered into the most holy place once and for all, for you and me, okay, having obtained eternal redemption. You don't have to worry. If you're saved, you are eternally saved. Do you see that? Eternally redeemed. He bought you, and you can't be sold ever and ever again. Whenever the high priest went into the old covenant, remember, only once a year the high priest on the Day of Atonement could go into the temple. Amen? He had to go with the blood and so forth. And when he went in, he had the 12 stones upon his garment that the high priest wore, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the high priest would go in and pray over and the sacrifice of blood to cleanse the sins or atone for the sins for another year. Then he would come out and pronounce the blessing upon the people. Then the scapegoat, you know the whole story. I don't have time to teach all of that. Well, Jesus, he went in as our high priest. And when he went in and when he was seated at the right hand of God in the majesty in the heavens forever and ever, he's there for you, he is there for me, loved one, he took us with him, just like the old covenant priest took the tribes of Israel into the Holy of Holies. Are you following me? That is your position. I'm talking about tents. This is your position right this moment. You are seated with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says this, God has made us alive together, and by grace you're saved, or have been saved, and raised us up together, all of us, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, we're positionally, in God's eyes, we're right there right now. That's why we can go to the throne of grace anytime. We've been given permission through the blood of Christ and our relationship with him. Amen? But let's now do one more thing. We're nearly done, and I'm going to talk to you. Let's go to heaven. Let me read it to you. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tent of God. The tent of God. Tabernacle means tent. The tent of God is with men. Don't miss this next part. And God, he shall dwell. The word dwell, listen, he shall dwell with them. That word literally means God himself will pitch his tent with you and with me, not temporarily, but forever and ever and ever and ever. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Never, ever ending, continual, incredible, unbroken intimacy with God himself. We will see him who dwells in inapproachable light. Amen? What a glorious moment. But we're a tent. He pitched his tent. Come on in and be with us. Now listen, but here's the deal. Heaven is our home, but we are not home yet, are we? No, listen, our tents are on earth. Yes, we're citizens of heaven, without a doubt. We're eagerly waiting for Jesus to come back, no doubt. But we have to labor now. It's another year. You have to labor. It's going to cost you to labor. It's going to cost your time, but you'll never regret it when you labor for God. Never. And nothing that you do for God can ever be wasted. Amen? Nothing. Listen, 2020, we're going to pitch our tents. And we're going to take that tent that I talked about to you last year, at the close of last year, that tent that's called free. Amen? We're going to take that tent and we're going to pitch our tents in divine, God-given locations all over the city here. This little tiny, do you know, it's not big at all. Just the city of Halton. We're going to pitch our tents. Why? Because we're God's tents. Amen? Did the Bible say we were? Yes. Not only that, are we endued with power from on high? Absolutely. Are we not these tents? Are we not the temple, the naos, but meaning holy of holies, of the living God? Yes. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? He's pitched his tent in you, in me. We're the children of God. Listen to this one from what God said about Jerusalem. In Isaiah 33:20, God says, look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tent. Interesting. A tent that will not be taken down. A tent that not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor will any of its cords be broken. My question is this. Yes, that's Israel, but how much more the church that's forever triumphant? No one will take down our tent. No one can destroy the church. Amen? No one. Not even the gates of hell, loved one. Oh, so how much more does that apply to us? Our tent will never be broken. Not only that, if you study out tents, it's amazing in the old days what they did. A tent had to have light at night. So what did they put in the tent at night? A lamp in the ancient days. What was that lamp full of? This guy over here, you're going, I don't know. You're a smart bunch over here. Oil. What does the oil in the Bible represent? You guys are incredible. Now, also, if you're going to pitch a tent, don't you usually put a tent, especially back then, by some source of good, fresh water? Yes. And what does water represent in God's Word? The Word of God. The Word of God. The living Word of God that never, ever perishes. Now listen, you are God's tent. You're going to have a tent called free. And guess what? There you are in that tent. Do you have the Word? Yeah, you have a Bible right there. Not only that, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Amen? You're endued with power from on high. Right there, the tent in a tent. Everything that you need, God will supply. Every word that comes out of your mouth, God will give you. The Bible says, and here's our scripture for the year, Psalm 118, verse 15, the voice of rejoicing, the voice of salvation is in the tents of the righteous. That's us. The right hand of God does valiantly. You don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of it. Amen? So that voicing of rejoicing in that tent called free, why? Of seeing people come to Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. 2020, Candy Cane Lane Christmas is 11 months and days away. That's going to continue. I wish I could read to you the letters that we've received, not only from those that received the gifts, the Walmart cards and all of that. Matter of fact, one just came in yesterday. It was so beautiful. Of a mom that was sharing, just so thankful for they had a Christmas. But the residents to write letters to me and thank this church for trying to unite this area. One neighbor said, Bill, I met more people and made new friends all because of Candy Cane Lane in my neighborhood that I've never met, and I lived there for years. Next year, I don't know if you went down Candy Cane Lane, there were many that participated. Next year, when I write a letter next month thanking them and telling them next year is going to be larger, oh, man, is going to be great. Now listen carefully. The Lord brought his harvest to us last year, didn't he? We didn't have to go. He brought the people, over 1,000 people, right to our doorstep, loved one. Man, now the Lord is sending us into his harvest to this city. But wait now, don't fall apart. All you have to do is pitch your tent. That's it. All you have to do is pitch your tent, the tent called Free. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to come to you. You know why? Because the harvest is ripe. The people need Christ. They are looking. They're searching. I'm telling you, a tent is pitching a tent. I love it. Called Free. And the lost, they're ready. They're ready to come. Be prepared, loved one, in the tent. Here's why. Because supernatural things happen in tents that belong to God. So you better be prepared this year for the here-ness, the now-ness, the supernaturalness of God happening through you to other people. God likes tents. He does supernatural things in tents. Remember what you did, and don't ever forget what you did in 2019. Remember how hard you worked. Remember how hard you prepared. Remember how you loved and people as your own self, as your neighbor. Don't ever forget that. And don't forget that our only purpose was to see people come to Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget that, because that's what you're going to do in 2020. God is taking you the whirlwind of God. He's taking you to this city and the lost, wherever those divine locations are that we start doing what we're getting ready to start doing. Listen, let's say it's a park. And you know what? It's a divine place. Wherever a tent is a divine place. Did you know that? Amen? You're the tent of God. Listen, and you're going to be in a tent. You're going to be in a tent called Free. And there you are. You've got your little table, your Bibles, and other things in the tent. You've been very trained already. You know exactly what to do. You're not alone. Someone's with you. And there they are. Oh, 20 yards away, and they're walking over there, whatever, and you don't know what they're doing. But they see that tent. And that word Free always catches the greed of every heart. You see, you don't have to do anything. You just be in the tent. And guess what? They come to you. They come to you. And they say, what's free? And you'll say, well, do you have anything that maybe you would like to ask us to pray for you about? Is there any need in your life right now? Or you came here. We didn't come to you. And if you came here, maybe God brought you. Are you with me? You see, then God will work through you the giftings that he has placed in you. Listen, you better be expectant this year, because God's going to do the supernatural. No different. Listen, there I was, you know the story all those years ago. My Lord, on the beach in Florida, it was a divine moment. And that tent, that hippie, the tent came up to me. I wasn't a tent. I was lost. But he came with one word. Look like you're looking for the truth. And I was. That's exactly what God knew my heart. And I said, well, what is the truth then? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's my life scripture, loved one. And he did set me free. Listen, if you study out Isaiah, great prophetic, say you go through chapters 51, 53, 54, 55, all those areas. It's all about the Messiah, isn't it? It's all about Jesus who's going to come, he's going to bear our griefs and our sorrows. He's going to die for our iniquities, our transgressions, our sins. Amen? But then right after talking about that, let me read this scripture. right after all the word about the Messiah, his crucifixion, and so forth, it says in Isaiah 54:1, "Sing, O barren, and you who have not borne, break forth into singing, cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, saith the Lord." Now we know, if we always must be fair to Scripture, in context, this is speaking about the nation of Israel coming back from captivity. And God says, okay, you know what? You're not going to labor for a child. I know there's just a few of you, but boy, I'm telling you what, you're going to grow like never before because I'm bringing you back. And so it's more than just bringing Israel back into the land, loved one. It also speaks of the second coming and the millennial reign of Christ. But it's verse 2 that I'm about to read to you that pertains to this church, that I believe with all of my heart that God spoke this to me, and this is a word for this church. I will not define how it's going to come about, but I am going to declare to you God's word. Listen carefully. Enlarge the place of your what? Tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right, to the left. That is a word, not just to Israel. That is a word to Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. The Lord says, enlarge the place of your tent, Calvary Chapel. Enlarge it. Something's getting ready to happen this year for this church. Not only that, he says, I want you to trust me because I'm going to stretch your tent. What does he mean by that? I'm going to stretch your faith. We're going to do things that we don't know how to do, or even we're just going to trust the Lord. We're going to believe God's word. Not only that, the Lord says, do not spare. You know what that means actually? Don't hold back. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't hold back at all. He says, oh no, Calvary Chapel, it is time to enlarge, to stretch, to lengthen, to strengthen and expand. The whirlwind of God hasn't diminished. It's picking up steam. It's picking up velocity. Loved one, listen, we're pitching our tents. We're going to pitch a tent called Free, and guess what happens? The adventure begins. Oh, the venture all over again. See, it is time for us to really, truly, not only love the lost, but win the lost. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he who winneth souls is the word winneth souls there literally means to capture men, people that are lost alive. Rescue them out of the fire. Bring them unto the Lord. It's time for every person in this church in 2020. You better get serious with the Lord now, loved one. You need to do what Jesus said. If you want to come after me, and there's nothing greater than coming after him, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Quit living for self. Start living for me. Disown yourself. You know what? You're not worth it anyway. Amen? Come on. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. And Jesus said, follow me. This church, we believe in the great commandment to love God with all of our heart, our neighbors, ourselves. That's a vision statement for this church. The second one is the Great Commission to go into all the world. We're getting ready to go into this world. The third one is the new commandment that Jesus gave, that we love one another to the same degree as Jesus loved us. By this, the whole world will know that we're his disciples. Loved one, listen. Training is starting soon. Dan Majala and his team, they're going to be training soon. We're going to be doing our homework because when the cold weather kind of lets up, we're getting ready to launch the attack. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. You pray, and then I want you to email me, and I'll give this information to Dan. I want you to email me at info@loveneverfails.com and say, I want to be in the tent. I want to be in the tent ministry. I want to change people's lives. Amen? Listen, it's not about you. It's about God doing it through you. That's all you have to do is be available. All you have to do is say, you know what, I can go out once this month or twice this month. Are you listening to me? It's not every day. We're going to strategically plan what we're doing around certain events. We're going to maybe take this city. Wouldn't that be something? To blow the devil out of here. He's already been weakened, amen? Oh, look what happened. Next year, there'll be over 2,000 people here for Candy Cane. Totally different. We're already praying. We're going to get together and learn from our mistakes and how to make it not only better or gooder, but that's to come. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. We're your tents, and we're ready. We're willing to obey the word for 2020, and it's all by your grace. It's all in your power. It's all by your strength, not our might. How wonderful, Lord, to know that. So, Lord, we just are ready. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? Now, you can say, you know what? I have heard a sermon on tents. Amen? That's right. This morning, I'm speaking to the body. I'm speaking to the church here. But you know what? If you're visiting with us, it's so good to have you. I'm going to be departing over to the main lobby to the visitor. There's a visitor center. They have a gift. They'd love to give it to you. I'd love to meet you as well. You know, if you are in need of prayer, you know that when the song is over, there'll be people down here to pray with your each and every need. Come with me this year, would you? This may be our last year here. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's just go for it and let him define it. We can just declare what he wants. That's it. Oh, and every day it'll grow. The adventure gets better and better and better. And I love you with all my heart. I am so thankful that Rebecca and I get to labor with you in 2020 in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Yes, you are. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. I love him so. He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.